This is a story from ancient Israel. It takes place in the time of the judges. And during that time, there was a famine throughout the land. And so there was a man from Bethlehem in Judea who took his wife and two sons to the neighboring country of Moab. Now, this man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. His son's name was Chilion and Mahlon. And once they got to Moab, they settled there and lived there. But soon after, Elimelech died, leaving Ruth as a widow. Well, her sons grew to adults, and they took Moabite wives. One's name was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. 10 years after that, both of her sons died and passed away, leaving Ruth with no husband and no sons. Well, Naomi, while she was still in Moab, had heard that back in Judea that the famine was over and they were able to grow crops again. And so she thought that she'd go back to her homeland. And her daughter-in-laws wanted to go with her. But she said to them, "You should go back home to your mother's house. I thank you for the way you treated my sons with such kindness. And may the Lord bless you with husbands to give you security." But they said, "No, we want to go and live with your people." And Naomi said, "I have nothing to offer you. I have no sons anymore. I am too old to get married and to bear sons again. I mean, even if such a thing were possible, would you wait around until they were adults so that you can marry them? No, it's better for you to go home to your people and to your gods. For God has dealt most bitterly with me, much more so with me than with you." And so Orpah embraced her mother-in-law, Naomi, and kissed her and said goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, "You should go with your sister-in-law back to Moab. There she goes." And Ruth said, "No, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die as well and be buried there." And with this, Naomi could say nothing more. So both of them went to Bethlehem. When they got there, there were people there that still recognized Naomi, and they said, "Could this be Naomi?" And she said, "No, don't call me that. Don't call me that any longer, for the Lord has dealt with me harshly. When I left here, I was full, and now I come back to you empty. For the Lord has dealt cruelly to me. Call me Mara. Call me Mara." So this is how Naomi came to live in Bethlehem once again with the Moabite woman, Ruth. And this was in the late spring when they returned, right before the barley harvest. The word of the Lord. This week I went to a storytelling convention in Dayton, Ohio. We lived for 14 years in Dayton, and so it brought back, in the Dayton area, brought back a lot of memories of driving around and seeing where we used to go to and from work and the places we had been. Part of what they talked about, what we talked about together at this convention, was how stories, when you tell stories, they relate on a personal level. And when you tell a story, all the areas of the brain that light up, as opposed to just presenting somebody with facts and figures. And why the reason why that is because there's a personal connection. And with each story we engaged in there at the convention, we were asked a series of questions, and then we had to share with the person next to us, regardless if we knew them or not, stranger, for 5-10 minutes, talk about our own stories. In some cases, very hard, very emotional to do that. So what can we learn by this story, this first chapter of Ruth? By the way, we're going to be in Ruth for the entire month of August. There's 4 chapters. It works nice and neat, just like the Lord's Prayer did. 5 Sundays, 5 different phrases. We have 4 chapters in Ruth. We're going to deal with 1 chapter each Sunday. Here we set the stage of what will happen afterwards. We know who the characters are. We know why they came to be in Bethlehem. We know what's going on. We know that for whatever reason, Ruth felt very attached to her mother-in-law, Naomi, probably even more so than her family back in Moab, as she refuses to go back home, that she would rather be with Naomi and go to a strange land with people that she doesn't know and worship a foreign god, or be a part of the community that worshiped a god that she didn't necessarily know. It wasn't part of her background. Questions for you to consider as we engage in this story. Question 1, when have we in life thought it was the end when it was really the beginning for us? When we were at the end of our rope, when we thought there was nothing left to go on, when we weren't sure of the future, when we thought our better days were behind us. And to the follow-up of that is, when did we believe that God cursed us, when God was actually building a blessing for us and building a home for us? Naomi believed that life was basically over for her. No husband, no future, no grandbaby. What will be her legacy? How will she take care of herself in a patriarchal society, even if she was going to be warmly welcomed back in Bethlehem as a part of her own kind, as she was? She refused to even see that. People warmly received her. Is this Naomi? Wow, we haven't seen you in such a long time. Welcome back home. Instead, she bemoaned and said, no, don't call me Naomi, which, by the way, means pleasant. She said, call me Mara, which means bitter, because I am bitter. She says, I'm bitter and I'm angry at God because God has raised a fist against me, depending on your translation. Find that time in your life. I'm sure all of us have a point in life like that. How did you come out of it? How were you surprised by grace? How were you surprised by the harvest that God had for you? Maybe it was that you were laid off from a job. Maybe it was a move to a strange place far away. Maybe it was a relationship ended. Maybe somebody important died from your life, like Naomi. How was God there for you? Do you have that place? Do you have that situation? Do you have that story in mind? One thing that's interesting about the book of Ruth is that the name God doesn't appear at all in the story. The word God doesn't appear, but don't mistake that God is not there throughout each and every episode of this story. And one of the reasons why people like the story and endears to people's hearts is because these are normal people. This isn't about a king or about a mighty prophet. It's not about King David or Moses or these mighty miracle workers like Elijah. It's about normal, everyday people like us. Naomi, experiencing heartache. Ruth, who clings to somebody because it's the only thing she's known for 10 plus years. Her mother-in-law, maybe. Why is that? Maybe she didn't have a tight mother relationship growing up. Maybe she was unsure how she'd be seen back in her home. Maybe she had overheard what it was like in Israel, that God was a God that welcomed strangers and foreigners. Maybe she heard that she'd be welcome in Bethlehem. Whatever it was, she clung to Naomi, it says. Maybe we've been there ourselves when we clung to something. When everything else has fallen down around us, we lost spouse. We cling to the one thing we know. Ruth clung to Naomi, the one thing that she knew that she can count on. Maybe she looked up to her. Maybe you knew somebody like that in life. Maybe that person is gone from your life now. Maybe that person is sitting next to you. Maybe that person was a mentor or a parent. Maybe even an in-law, like in this story. Thank God for that person right here and now. Thank God for them, that you were sent somebody that you can lean on. Another question. When have we went beyond what's expected of us? Because this is what Ruth is doing. People at this time did what was expected of them. You lose a spouse, you go back to your parents' house. You start over, maybe. So Ruth was expected to go back to her mother's house. Presumably her father was there too, maybe. To go back home, but she did not. She did the unexpected. She instead clung to Naomi. Have we done that? Has somebody done that for us? Gone above and beyond what was expected of them to help you, to be there for you? They were a blessing for each other. A blessing for each other. They found strength in each other, as we will see throughout this story. They established a family again together in a new start where they did not, at least Naomi did not, expect to be able to start over and to have a family again. One more question to think on today. Have we ever taken a journey out of desperation where we felt we had no choice but to go? Maybe, maybe not. Right now, there's somebody that believes they have no choice but to travel to a foreign land, a foreign country, where they don't know many people, maybe nobody. In fact, where people speak a different language, where they don't know if they will be accepted, they don't know if they'll be thrown into prison, where they hope that they might find work to be able to provide for their kids, to be able to have a better life, even just to live, to be able to survive. I read a lot of stories this week about stories of immigrants, and part of this story in Ruth is an immigration story. Ruth was a Moabite woman, a foreigner. This is the story of Marcelia from New York City, as she is now, and she grew up in Guadalajara, Mexico. Her father worked on a ranch. Her mom was a waitress. So they were gone a lot, and she was the oldest child, and she had to look after her younger brothers and sisters a lot. So she saw herself as a bit of a protector. Well, her father was killed in gang violence in Mexico, and her mother felt she had no other choice but to leave Mexico, come to the United States, escape the world of crime. They gained asylum here in the United States. They ended up in New York City. Mom, again, worked as a waitress, but she and her brothers and sisters worked hard and got good grades, and she's now a police officer in New York City, helping to protect and make her community a better place than where she came from. I read also about a story of a Japanese wife who married a Marine in the late 1940s. They had five children together. They immigrated to the United States in Minnesota. There was not a lot of Japanese immigrants in Minnesota, and she had to find her way mostly by herself. There was a lot of prejudice still against the Japanese in the 50s and in the 60s. How many people are coming, looking for a better life, looking for hope, wondering how they will be received? What will their reception be? Will they give a reception like Naomi's reception? Good to see you, Naomi. And later for Ruth, as we will see, it's a commandment in the Old Testament to take care of widows and foreigners. Ruth was a foreigner. Naomi was a widow. They took care of them. They had to glean from the fields, basically pick up scraps from the harvest. Coming back to Naomi, I think deep down she did have a little bit of hope and faith. Otherwise, why would she go? Why would she go back? It doesn't say exactly in that chapter. She did go back. Maybe it's she had faith. Maybe she had a little bit of blind faith. What made Ruth go with her? It was a God she didn't know much about? Was it because of a little bit of hope and faith? St. John of the Cross said these words: if somebody wishes to be sure of the road they travel on, they must close their eyes and walk in the dark. If you want to be sure about the road you travel, close your eyes and travel in the dark. Counterintuitive, right? But could it be the less we know, the better? They didn't know what they would face in Bethlehem. Maybe that was good. When we lay aside the ways we typically know things with our eyes, our senses, our intellect, what we read and observe with our left brain, basically, we may find that we open up a little bit of the other side of our knowing, of our being, of our brain, a certain kind of knowing, more intuitive knowing. This too can light our paths. I'm not saying we should close off the other half, but step out in faith, in hope, when things seem bleak, when things seem hopeless, when you feel like you have no other choice but to do this. Step out with a little bit of strength, knowing that God will carry you forward. Belief is a thought, whereas faith is knowing. Paul says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the conviction of things not seen. Because why do we have faith in the things that we do see? Who hopes in those things? Faith is a conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. It's a certainty that grows in our bones. Where does that come from? I submit to you the Holy Spirit, is where that comes from. And Naomi, despite all of her disparaging comments about being cursed by God and how God has dealt harshly with her, why else would she leave and go to Bethlehem if she did not actually have just a little bit of hope and faith? And also, she knew that she would be welcomed there with open arms back home. We are always welcome back home into God's arms. Have we been here? Have we been here in this juncture of life where we needed to step out, have a little faith? Maybe we were bellyaching to God, but deep down, deep in our bones, we knew that God would pull us through. I hope you have. I hope you've experienced that. A kind of knowing. The knowledge that God is creating a harvest for you, for us. Notice the last line. Start of the barley harvest. Sets up the scene that will happen next. Literally, it's at the harvest time when they arrive at Bethlehem. It's got a lot of meaning there. God has got good things ahead for Naomi and Ruth. It's going to come through this foreigner. Ruth is a gift to her. May we all have a Ruth in our life. May we all be a Ruth somehow to somebody. Let us pray.